Welcome, everyone. Today we're going deep on glamping. Like, how did we get from sleeping under the stars to, you know, luxury campsites with like chandeliers and hot tubs? It's kind of a wild evolution, right?
Yeah, it really is. You know, we've got research here going way back, tens of thousands of years. Apparently, Neanderthals were building these like tent shelters out of mammoth bones and hides.
Whoa. Mammoth bones. I mean, that's hardcore camping right there. I can barely set up a pop-up tent.
Yeah, well, those mammoth bone shelters, I mean, they probably took some serious planning, resourcefulness. I bet you needed a whole team to pull it off.
I get just teamwork makes the dream work. Even back then, huh? So how do we get from mammoth bone tents to, like, organized campsites? When did that start?
Well, according to our sources, it looks like the first official campground in the U.S. was Adirondack Park. Back in 1869.
Adirondack Park. That's supposed to be beautiful.
It is.
So these early campsites, was it all about like getting away from it all? Or was there already an idea of like preserving nature back then?
Well, I think designating certain areas as campgrounds was definitely a step toward managing the impact of humans on the environment. It's that balance of enjoying nature, but also making sure we take care of it, which is still a big issue today.
Yeah, that makes sense. Speaking of how things have changed, I remember those old camping trips with the giant canvas tents and those like finicky camp stoves.
Oh, yeah. You needed like a PhD in engineering to get those things working.
Totally.
But seriously, camping gear has come a long way. Those heavy tents are ancient history now. We've got lightweight, high-tech shelters made from all sorts of fancy materials. And the stoves, they're like these compact, fuel-efficient wonders.
I know, right? Oh. And don't even get me started on water filtration. No more lugging around gallons of water.
Exactly.
But sometimes I wonder, has all this convenience made camping a little too easy? You know what I mean? Mm. Like back in the day, it was a real challenge.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Maybe we've lost a little bit of that. I don't know. That sense of adventure.
Well, that's an interesting thought, and it kind of leads us to this whole glamping thing. It's almost like an extension of that desire for comfort, bringing those comforts into nature.
Right, glamping. So it's like taking all the best parts of a hotel and putting them in the wilderness. But isn't that kind of a contradiction? Glamorous camping.
Maybe, but think about it. You've got luxurious bedding, private bathrooms, maybe even a gourmet chef cooking your dinner, and you're surrounded by nature. It's blurring the lines a bit.
Okay, I'm listening. So what kind of places are we talking about? When we say glamping, is it just like fancy tents in a field?
Oh, no, no. It's so much more diverse than that. We're talking yurts tucked away in vineyards, tree houses perched above rainforests, even those high-tech geodesic domes with incredible views.
Tree houses in the rainforest. Okay, now that sounds amazing. But is there a downside to this whole glamping thing? Like, does it take away from the, you know, authentic wilderness experience?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. And honestly, it's something that people in the outdoor community are kind of debating right now. Some people say glamping makes a wilderness too tame, while others say it opens up nature to a whole new group of people.
So it's not just about where you sleep. It's about how we think about nature and how we interact with it.
Exactly. And a lot of glamping sites are actually going even further by offering these curated experiences to really connect with nature.
Like what kind of experiences?
Well, you've got guided nature walks, wildlife tours, yoga sessions, even cooking classes with local ingredients.
Wow. So you can learn to cook like a gourmet chef using ingredients you foraged yourself.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it really adds a whole other dimension to the experience.
So we've gone from mammoth bone shelters to high-tech tents to luxury yurts in the rainforest. Mm-hmm. What's driving all of this, this constant evolution of how we experience the outdoors?
I think it's a mix of things. Technology is definitely a factor. Our lifestyles are changing. And honestly, I think deep down, we all have this urge to connect with nature, even if we want to be comfortable while we're doing it.
I think you're right. It's like this primal pull towards comfort.
Well, maybe a little bit of both. But in all seriousness, our research shows that spending time in nature is incredibly good for us. Mentally and physically. So maybe that's why. Even with all the craziness of modern life, we still crave those simple, grounding experiences.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's like hitting the pause button.
Yeah.
On all the stress and noise.
Exactly.
But with glamping, it's more like hitting the mute button, right? You still have those creature comforts.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So I guess the question is it still a real nature experience? If you're sleeping in a plush bed, sipping wine, and taking a hot shower.
That's a tough one. I mean, it depends on what you're looking for, right? Some people want to challenge themselves, push their limits. really rough it.
Mm.
And others just want to relax and connect.
Right. And both are totally valid.
I think that's the beauty of the outdoors. There's something for everyone.
I agree.
So maybe it's not about glamping being good or bad,
mm.
but how it fits into this bigger picture of how we experience and interact with nature.
You got it. And like with any trend, we have to be mindful of the impacts, both positive and negative, and try to find that balance.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. It's not about taking sides. It's about having a conversation.
I agree.
About how we can enjoy and protect nature in a way that works for everyone.
And that conversation is ongoing. As glamping keeps evolving, we need to keep asking these questions and looking for solutions.
Okay, so we've talked about the history of glamping,
mm-hmm.
the impact on conservation, and even the psychological benefits. But let's be honest, there's a whole business side to this too, and it's booming. So what can you tell us about that?
Well, glamping has definitely moved beyond just being a niche market. It's a global industry now.
Yeah.
And it's growing fast. It's not just small campsites anymore either. You've got big hotel chains and hospitality brands getting into the glamping game.
Wow. So big companies are getting involved.
Big time.
What does that mean for those smaller glamping sites?
It's definitely a challenge for them, but it's also an opportunity. A lot of these independent sites are focusing on creating really unique experiences, catering to specific interests.
That's interesting.
Like yoga retreats in secluded forests, mm-hmm. culinary glamping with farm-to-table dining, even astrotourism, where guests can stargaze with astronomers.
So it's like the boutique hotel version of glamping.
Exactly.
Small, but with a very focused experience.
That's a great way to put it.
So they're not just selling a place to sleep, they're selling an entire experience.
Precisely.
Okay, that makes sense. But who are all these people glamping? Is there like a specific demographic?
You know, it's actually pretty diverse. You've got millennials looking for those Instagram-worthy moments, families who want to enjoy the outdoors without roughing it, even baby boomers rediscovering nature in a more luxurious way.
So it's not just one type of person?
Nope. Glamping appeals to a lot of different people.
I guess that's why it's such a big trend.
I think so.
It seems like it's tapping into this desire for experiences
mm.
that are both authentic and comfortable.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And this idea that being in nature is just good for us.
Definitely.
So it's more than just a fad.
But I think it reflects a real change in how we see the world and how we want to experience it.
That's a great point. And of course,
yeah.
with any cultural shift like this, there are going to be economic impacts.
Absolutely.
Glamping is creating jobs.
Yeah.
Supporting local communities.
That's right.
Boosting tourism.
You got it.
It's even driving innovation.
Yeah.
In sustainable design and eco-friendly practices.
It really is.
So it's not just about luxury. It's about contributing to a better future.
I agree.
Okay. As we wrap up this part of our deep dive, what's the one big idea you want our listeners to take away?
I think it's this. Glamping is more than just fancy tents and plush beds. It's about how our relationship with nature is changing and how we're trying to find that balance
yeah.
between comfort and authenticity.
I like that.
It's about creating experiences that are both meaningful and memorable.
Well said. And who knows? Maybe this deep dive will inspire some of our listeners to plan their own glamping adventure.
I hope so. There are so many possibilities out there.
Absolutely.
Whether it's a romantic getaway, a family adventure, or a solo retreat, there's a glamping experience waiting for everyone.
Well, on that note, I think it's time for us to pack up our metaphorical glamping gear and head back to reality. Thanks for joining us on this journey.
It's been a pleasure exploring the world of glamping with you. Until next time, may your adventures be filled with comfort, connection, and a touch of glamour.
That's a great way to end it. So until next time, happy glamping, everyone. It's funny, you know, we've talked about all this cool gear and glamping, but what about just being in nature? Is there something special about that?
Yeah.
That goes beyond all the trends and stuff?
Oh, absolutely. And I think one of the most powerful ways to really feel that connection is by experiencing the night sky. When you're away from the city lights, the stars are just incredible. It's like a whole different world up there.
I know exactly what you mean. I remember camping in the desert once. Miles from any civilization. It was like the sky was covered in diamonds. I could actually see the Milky Way, like it was right there in front of me.
It's pretty amazing, right? And that feeling of awe, being surrounded by something so vast and ancient, it can be really humbling. Our sources actually suggest that stargazing can make people feel more connected to the universe, like they're part of something bigger.
I totally get that. It's like a reset button for your mind. Reminds you there's a whole universe out there,
mm-hmm.
beyond all our daily worries. But I have to ask, How does this tie back into glamping? Can you still have that same sense of awe when you're surrounded by luxury?
That's a good question. I think it really depends on the individual and the specific glamping experience. Some sites are designed to maximize those views of the sky, and some even offer guided stargazing tours.
Oh, wow. So you could have like a gourmet meal while an astronomer points out constellations.
Exactly. It's about finding that balance between enjoying the comforts and still feeling connected to nature.
Okay, that makes sense. You know, another thing I've been thinking about is how glamping impacts conservation efforts. It seems a bit contradictory. Luxury in the wilderness and protecting the environment.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. One argument for glamping is that it can introduce new people to nature. People who might not be into traditional camping. Maybe they're not comfortable with roughing it, but with glamping, they might be more willing to try it.
So it's like a gateway to appreciating nature.
Yeah, you could say that. And the hope is that by exposing more people to these beautiful natural spaces, it'll make them care more about protecting them.
That makes sense. The more you appreciate something, the more you want to take care of it.
But isn't there an environmental cost to all this luxury? I mean, building these elaborate structures, transporting amenities to remote locations.
That's a valid concern, but a lot of glamping operators are trying to be more eco-friendly. They're using sustainable building materials, minimizing waste, and relying on renewable energy sources.
So they're trying to find that sweet spot between luxury and sustainability. Exactly. It's an ongoing process, but the industry is definitely making progress.
That's good to hear. It sounds like there's a real effort to make glamping a force for good, both for connecting people with nature and protecting the environment. But let's go back to the personal experience for a minute. We talked about the awe and connection. Are there other psychological benefits to spending time in nature, even if it's in a luxurious setting?
Definitely. Our research shows that being in nature can really improve our mental well-being. It reduces stress, improves mood, boosts creativity, and can even help us think more clearly.
It's like hitting the pause button on life. All the stress and noise just fades away.
Yeah, I like that.
But with glamping, it's more like hitting the mute button, right? You still have those comforts.
That's a good way to put it.
So is it still a true nature experience then? If you're sleeping in a comfy bed, sipping wine, and taking a hot shower.
That's the big question, isn't it? I think it depends on what you're looking for. For some people, it's about pushing their limits, embracing the rawness of the wilderness. But for others, it's about finding peace and rejuvenation in a more comfortable setting.
I see your point.
And both perspectives are totally valid.
Exactly.
The great thing about nature is that it can offer something for everyone.
That's true.
Whether you're a hardcore backpacker or a first-time glamper, there's a way to connect with nature that works for you.
So maybe it's not about glamping being good or bad, but how it fits into this whole spectrum of how we experience nature.
Exactly.
And I think that's something we need to be mindful of. As glamping continues to grow,
absolutely,
we need to think about the impact.
It's both positive and negative.
And try to find a balance that benefits both people and the environment.
I agree.
It's not about taking sides. It's about having a thoughtful conversation.
Right.
About how we can enjoy and protect nature in a way that works for everyone.
Well said. And that conversation is going to continue. As glamping evolves, we'll need to keep asking these questions and looking for solutions.
I think that's a great point to emphasize. It's not about being right or wrong. It's about having an open mind.
I agree.
And finding ways to make this work for both people and the planet.
Absolutely.
Well, on that note, I think it's time to shift gears a bit and explore another fascinating aspect of glamping, the business side. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. The history, the conservation angle, even the psychology of it all. But let's face it, glamping's a business. And a pretty big one by the looks of it. What can you tell us about that side of things?
Well, it's definitely gone mainstream, not just a niche market anymore. We're talking a global industry. And the projections show it's just going to keep growing. And it's not just those little campsites either. We're seeing major hotel chains, like big names in hospitality, jumping on the glamping bandwagon.
Wow. So it's not just those mom and pop operations anymore. We're talking serious players getting involved.
Yeah, exactly. And that's bringing a whole new level of, I guess, sophistication to the industry. You know, think high-end amenities, personalized service, even loyalty programs for glampers.
Loyalty programs for glamping. That's kind of wild. But what about the smaller independent sites? Are they getting squeezed out by these big companies?
It's tough competition, for sure. But a lot of them are finding their niche, focusing on unique experiences, tailored to specific interests.
So kind of like the boutique hotel version of glamping?
Yeah, you could say that.
Small, but with a really focused experience.
Exactly.
So they're not just selling a place to stay. They're selling a whole curated experience.
Exactly.
Makes sense. So who are all these people glamping? Is there like a typical glamper?
It's actually a pretty diverse crowd. You've got millennials looking for those Instagrammable moments, families who want to enjoy the outdoors without giving up comfort, even baby boomers who want to reconnect with nature, but in a more luxurious way.
Wow. So it really does span the generations.
It really does.
I guess that's what makes it such a powerful trend.
It's tapping into something bigger, you know? This desire for experiences that are both authentic and comfortable.
And this idea that being in nature is good for us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it's more than just a fad.
I think so.
It's reflecting a real shift.
In how we value experiences and how we connect with the natural world.
That's a great point. And of course, anytime you have a cultural shift like this, there are going to be economic impacts.
Right.
Glamping is creating jobs, supporting local economies, boosting tourism.
Absolutely.
It's even pushing innovation in areas like sustainable design and eco-friendly practices.
That's true.
So it's not just about indulging in luxury. It's about contributing to a better future.
Well said.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the world of glamping, what's the one big takeaway you hope our listeners will remember?
I think it's this. Glamping is more than just fancy tents and comfy beds. It's a reflection of how our relationship with nature is evolving, how we're finding new ways to connect with it, and how we're striving for that balance between comfort and authenticity.
That's a great way to put it. It's about creating experiences that are meaningful and memorable.
Exactly.
Well, folks, I think it's time for us to pack up our metaphorical glamping gear and head back to reality. Thanks for joining us on this journey into the world of glamping.
It's been a pleasure exploring it with you.
And to all our listeners out there, until next time, happy glamping.